Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the Shame-Free Zone. My guest tonight is Evelyn Maureen. Evelyn is the co-founder and the current president of a not-for-profit professional association called ASEP. ASEP stands for the Association of Sexual Energy Professionals. She is also the founder of Sacred Haven. Sacred Haven is a nonprofit religious organization with a focus on integrating the spiritual and the sensual. Where have you heard that before? You know, I'm all about bringing sex and spirit coming together. Her personal private practice was created in the late 90s as the Awakening Body. And she's actually got a website by that name, too, www.awakeningbody.com. Evelyn likes to refer to herself as a mature and wise older woman who has three grown sons and six grandchildren between the ages of 3 and 18, and she is the bishop in the Madonna Ministry. Bishop in the Madonna Ministry. Boy, I got a lot of questions for you. She's also the proud graduate of the very first certification program for sexological body workers. Sexological body workers was a brand new degree established in California not too long ago, and that was actually founded by Dr. Joseph Kramer, who is also a friend of mine. Well, maybe I should say colleague. Anyway, we've talked at many of the same events. And you can actually get a degree now in California for touching people's vaginas and penises. So welcome to the show, Evelyn.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did I say your last name right? Is it Maureen?
Yes, it's Maureen. You're right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you're actually talking to us from Tampa Bay, Florida?
Uh-huh. I am.
All ready for the Super Bowl. And just before we went live, you were telling me a little bit about what's up with Tampa Bay. I guess they're arresting a lot of sex workers?
Yeah. Well, not a lot. Not a lot to justify the money they're spending on, you know, digging them out, you know, maybe five, six, nine.
You know
yeah,
what?
We
just started, and we've already got a caller. Paul is on line one. So welcome to the show, Paul. What's your question or comment?
Didn't realize you had a guest, but I wanted to talk to you about your book. So, but I'll be happy to listen and contribute to whatever I can to the discussion.
Well, you know, Evelyn is actually a specialist in, we were actually just getting ready to talk about the Super Bowl, but we can keep that, talk about that in a few minutes. She's actually a specialist in, creating erotic, erotic experiences for extraordinary circumstances.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, can you give an example of that?
Yes, I sure can. Actually, Paul, I'm a quote unquote tantra professional, and tantra to me simply means it's about all of the indigenous cultures that actually considered your sexual energy your life force, and I've been doing a combination of sexological body work and kind of the Taoist erotic massage stuff for about 10, 15 years now. I've lost track. But one of the things that has come to me often is the client who comes to me because they have issues. You know, they have issues around what they're about sexually, and some of those that I can, that have been really profound experiences for me and yet get really, really in our medical community and our therapeutic community, the whole aspect of their sexuality is something that is never addressed. And for instance, the post-traumatic stress disorder, I call them the wounded warriors returning from the Middle East, physically challenged, be it from disease, injury, or surgery, or the aging senior who's convinced that age has compromised the physical body's ability to really respond to a deepening desire to connect, and the emotionally and the physical traumatized. Our sexual energy as our life force is something that we should be using 24/7. It's the very process and the very energy that creates us, and therefore it should be the energy that contributes highly to our healing, be it emotional, physical, or spiritual. And we don't look at it that way. And so my practice involves, in addition to that, it feels good, you know, but it involves using orgasmic energy in many cases to be able to help individuals combat pain, decrease symptomatology, get over trauma, also helping them learn, you know, like the frozen virgin who has never learned about what it's like and can't really identify with what are all of the things and the bells and whistles I need to know to be a very viable, intimate partner. So that's what I mean by creating erotic experiences for extenuating circumstances.
I have several questions for you, but before we go there, I want to, Paul, what were the comments that you, or questions about my book?
Well, one thing I observed in your book, a very simple statement that ties into what was just said, is if it wasn't for sex, none of us would be here, right?
Yeah. That's for sure.
It's a pretty important aspect of life.
Well, and if you think about it, the very first experience that you have when you make your decision to arrive on the planet is the orgasmic explosion. So should it not be considered as important in your life overall as breathing?
Actually, some of the research that I have access to says that the fetuses are masturbating in the womb. So
absolutely.
I actually think the orgasm is more core and central to our identity than the air we breathe or the food that we eat.
Right.
Yes. We do it before we ever take our first breath of air.
And that has been my experience. I've been working with, you know, I've just been just sent people who they, you know, their Parkinson's is a very good example, Parkinson's disease. One of my very first clients that was challenged several years ago, basically he needed to be held. You know, nobody was touching him. You know, all of this whole business about being viable to have sex. You know, are you healthy enough? And so he came to me and he says, I just want somebody to hold me. I just want somebody to like, I crave that. Well, yeah, you crave life force energy, you know. So as we worked, one of the things I noticed was 15 minutes after he got on the table, on my massage table, his tremors completely stopped. And for the whole 2-hour session, his tremors would stop. And so in tying that in with the sexological bodywork stuff and the Taoist erotic massage, because the ancient Taoists used it completely for healing things. You know, with certain positions and certain ways you breathe. And so by really, really working with that, and so as time progressed, I began working with diabetes, with living in the Tampa Bay area. I have a lot of senior citizens who think because they've had to have their prostate removed that it's all over for them. And the stuff that I'm getting with people that I'm working with who do have challenges is amazing. And it's all based on the premise that orgasm is energetic. I know it's totally energetic.
Amazing.
You do not have to feel in the physical to feel orgasm. Ejaculation is separate from orgasm in both male and female.
Now, is that something that you were aware of, Paul?
Huh?
Were you aware that orgasm, that ejaculation and orgasm were separate things?
Not until I read your book. Yeah, in fact, you know, I found it hard to believe that a man could have an orgasm without having an erection or without having an ejaculation. And if I understood it correctly, that's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I probably wouldn't have believed it either.
Absolutely. And let me explain to you how that happens, Paul, so you can, and it'll make sense to you. When you begin to feel turned on, the place that you feel turned on is literally in your perineum area, that place between your anus and your testicles, okay? I call it the pleasure plateau. And what happens is your first reaction to that is, oh, my God. And you push down and you say, you try to avoid what you think is going to be the orgasm if it comes too soon. If you breathe and you relax and you breathe and you squeeze the sphincter muscle, you will move that energy and that feeling all the way up into your entire body. Okay? And when you do that, you're avoiding using that energy to project the ejaculate out. And you can have orgasm after orgasm after orgasm after orgasm.
As a female ejaculator, that's one of the things that I strive to do, too. Is like,
absolutely.
If the energy wants to go out, then I know I'm going to ejaculate, and it's going to be a totally different orgasm. But if I can pull that energy in,
yes,
and then I can have an intense internal orgasm, for me, I mean, not to try to set up a hierarchy for orgasms here, but I love the one that kind of blows the top of your head off.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Over and over and over again, and it lasts forever. And the more you relax, the more it waves. It's like riding a wave. And men can do that. And it is not about learning to do it. It's about unlearning everything you've been taught about sex and finding ways to really, really create a powerful flow. And that's part of what it did, because one of my dearest friends, Ray, is a quadriplegic. He's spinal cord injured and has been for 20 years. Mm. And he has the most incredible orgasmic response. And even in one of our speakers at the ASEP conference last year, well, two of them, Barry Komisarek and Beverly Whipple, who wrote The Science of Orgasm, there's this scratching Beverly Whipple in the late 1900s had women who were spinal cord injured who had no feeling in their lower extremities, who experienced, and it was documented that they were experiencing orgasm. And
now,
it's an energy.
Now, Evelyn just mentioned somebody named Ray, and she's talking about Ray Stubbs. He's actually the editor and author of a book. It's an anthology, and it's called Women of the Light. And Paul, you might enjoy reading it. It's basically sacred prostitutes, modern day sacred prostitutes, writing about how they feel about their profession and their experiences with clients.
And then he did a DVD also. His website, Paul, is secretgardenpublishing.com. And the website is Magdalene Unveiled, the new sacred prostitute, which is an amazing DVD. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we may be giving you information you're not interested in. What when she was talking about, like, the wounded warrior and the middle-aged virgin who is frozen in fear, do you know any people like that? Any men or women?
Oh yeah, I can almost.
Oh, no,
I
was calling Paul, asking Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Let's
put it this way, that those concepts are kind of new to me, so I wouldn't necessarily say that I know someone and apply that concept, you know, like a, what'd you say, a frozen virgin or something? I mean, to me it's just, you know, virgin or no virgin, you know, so I,
yeah.
I'm not, you guys are into advanced sex, you know, what do I know, geez.
There is no such, there's expanded sex, but there's no such thing as advanced, you know, and the expanded part of it is, again, just forgetting about what you think you're supposed to do and just do what you feel. If it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there are some people that they're so locked into thinking that it's a process that they're afraid to try, and the longer they go, the more afraid they become. And
well,
so
that's like, here, now I find that I keep tapping on the door of a certain level of pleasure that I don't seem to be able to embrace. And I've had more pleasure than a lot of people. I'm very well aware of this, having been in, you know, my share of porn. And I still know there's more. There's more. And
absolutely.
And when I go tapping on that door, I feel this intense fear inside. So what kind of advice would you have for somebody like me who is wondering, you know, what could it possibly be that would scare me about experiencing more pleasure?
The body has, and I don't know about your background, and there's a lot of reasons why somebody could freeze up in that situation. It's a very, very common thing for someone who has any kind of trauma in their background. And let's face it, we all have trauma. I mean, we all have been, quote unquote, sexually abused just by the very virtue of the way we've been presented our sexuality. But in cases of women, a lot of time, it could go back to something that happened in childbirth. It could go back to something that happened in their early years. It could go back to a boyfriend who rejected them. But what happens is the body has this amazing way of sheltering you from going to those higher heights because they're afraid you're going to be able to use this energy to process out that pain. Okay? And so that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the wounded warrior. One of the jobs of the sacred prostitute anciently was to help shed that orgasmic energy. You don't have to go through years of therapy. I mean, it blows my mind. You know, Jack Moran says, I have a choice to make. I can either charge my client X number of hours of psychotherapy, or I can cut that in half or a third and send my client to a sexological body worker, because your orgasmic energy also is a catharsis. Okay, you can actually, don't you know how you feel when you have one of those mind-blowing, out-of-the-top-of-your-head orgasms?
Actually,
it takes all the damn cares of the day away.
Actually, Evelyn, I was going to blog about something this month about using orgasmic energy to process grief.
Yes, absolutely. And people feel guilty for that.
Yeah, I had an amazing experience just probably a couple weeks ago where I was, and I do a lot of masturbation ritual, you know, where I meditate beforehand. I use candles and affirmations and visualization. I wouldn't really go so far as to say that it's sex magic, but I am embracing the fact that I think that what the things that you affirm at the moment of orgasm can be very powerfully realized.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I felt this enormous block, like I wasn't able to access myself, and the sexual energy kept wanting to go out, you know. In the
Where was the block?
It was my dog who got hit by a car almost a year ago, will be a year ago, February 18th, and I had made a decision that I had grieved that enough and that I was done. Well, I'm not.
Okay,
so,
where did you feel the block in your body?
Where in my body? You know, the first thing that comes to mind is always my chest. This is where I block a lot of stuff.
Yes, yes.
It's in my chest.
And that's your heart chakra. So what you're doing is you're afraid to let it go through there. And oftentimes when you let it go through and all the way out the top of your
there,
head.
And it was an incredibly odd experience because while I was crying and feeling this profound grief, I was also having a mind-blowing orgasm.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
It is the process that heals you also. That's what we do. That's what David Cates and some of the other of us who are doing this, which is, and Rafe, by the way, who's going to be, we're going to be presenting this program at the Dhaka Dakini conference in Sedona. And
is that at Baba Dez's place?
That's at Baba Dez's place in Sedona. And Rafe is, a young man I met in a sexual shaman, the Anatomy of Energy seminar that Ray Stubbs put on. And Rafe is a spinal cord injury victim. 4 years ago, he fell off a building in India. And he's also a somatic psychologist. And he's an amazing young man. But anyway, what happens is, because it's your life force energy, it has the ability to, I call it psychic liquid plumber.
okay? It takes out all of the crap, and it, as you're experiencing, and that's why it works so well with sexual abuse victims,
mm-hmm.
both male and female. And it works to the point, sometimes with sexual abuse victims, they forget about the incident until they get on the table or they get to that place where it comes very near. And then that fear hits them. And they don't know what to do. They're going like, why am I afraid? I don't know why I'm afraid. And that's one of the first signs that I have, is that something traumatic has happened to them that they've blocked.
Well, I knew that the, because I have quite a few friends who graduated from
mm-hmm.
the sexological bodywork.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I knew that people were processing sexual trauma in these workshops. But
yes.
The idea of grieving the death of a loved
yes.
one
yes.
was, this for me created a lot of cognitive dissonance. It's kind of like, well, excuse me, I don't even understand what my dog getting hit by a car has to do with me having an orgasm.
Well, because part of it is you're in your head, Veronica, instead of being in your body and your energy.
Oh,
we
first time I've been accused of that, doll.
No, but I mean, what happens is when you are processing on that deep a level where you're into your spirit and this, believe it or not, Mr. Mind doesn't need to be involved.
Mm.
And that's what happens to us a lot of times. We've gotten so techie about everything that we do that we think we have to process through that computer we call our brain, when where we really need to be processing it is through that third eye or through the energetic aspects of our field. Because sometimes all of that pain and a lot of what we're going through, do I understand it? No, but I'm not necessarily supposed to understand it, maybe. It's just a process.
Well, I got a new
word
for you.
What's that mean?
I'm going to call you the orgasm whisperer.
I love it. All right.
Because I'm totally addicted to the dog whisperer.
Yes,
and,
I am,
you know,
too.
Cesar Milan, I mean, I have two dogs, and I'm just...
Yes.
Learning to play with energy with the dogs is so much fun.
Well, and that's exactly what he does.
Yes, and he's all about the energy, and he keeps trying to tell the humans, get out of your head and just work with your body.
Absolutely. And work with your body and your energy, because as soon as you can tap into your energy, which, see, the only reason we know we have all these physical organs going on inside us is because we've seen them in pictures books, unless we've been lucky enough to be a doctor or unlucky enough, whatever, and, you know, cut people open and see. But if I were to ask you, prove to me that you have a heart by tracing it, you couldn't. You say, I just know it's there. Well, how do you know? Because I've been taught it. But by the same token, what you have been untaught is the energetic aspect. When you feel love, there's a place in your heart, right around where your quote-unquote heart is, the middle of your chest. You feel it, you feel the energy there, but you've never been, you're aware of it all the time, but you've never been made cognitively, you've never been taught anything about it. So you've overlaid the natural energetic aspects of you with the logical physical aspects.
True.
And when the two of those come together is what I consider to be sacred union. I consider the energy, if you want to call it, the bride, and the logic or the computer being the groom, then what you've got is you've got a sacred union, because you're using your energy and you're using that other part to make things work.
Awesome.
Okay.
Paul, are you still with us?
Oh.
Are you there, Paul?
He must have hung up.
I think Paul had to go somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, Paul, we want to thank you for calling in.
Yeah,
and for your
thank
comments.
You, Paul.
I was gonna ask him, what does all this mumbo-jumbo sound like to somebody?
Well, it's amazing until
they
experience. Like for you and the block that you experienced, I would say to you, just come get on my table. I can't explain what happens in that process. And the same way with other people who are working with this. One of the things that ASAP has done, which we're just, you know, really thrilled about, is it's bringing people all over the country who have had different experiences in different walks of sexual energy professions. We're sharing knowledge, you know, we're sharing knowledge with the the likes of Barry Komisarek and Beverly Whipple, you know, who are huge ASEC kind of, I guess you would call them whatever side of the brain it is. It's not, you know, the cognitive side.
Beverly Whipple's part of ASEC now?
Both. She was one of our, she and Barry Komisarek were, our keynote, where we worked with Orgasm last year, and they were our keynote speakers. And Joe Kramer was our award recipient. The year before that, it was Betty Dodson.
For our listeners who don't know who Dr. Beverly Whipple was, responsible for putting the G-spot back on everybody's mouth.
Absolutely, yes.
Because her book came out in the 80s and changed my life. I had been reading about how incontinent I was up until Beverly Whipple's book came out, and then I realized I was just ejaculating.
Absolutely. It's a total biochemical difference, you know. And don't let anybody tell you that goes away. It does not. The older I get, the juicier I get. So, girlfriend, I'm going out. I'm transitioning it with ejaculation and tantra celebration, you know.
Well, I have to, you know, I'm getting more musky.
Yeah.
I'm getting quite a signature, but I have some questions for you now because
sure.
I'm turning 49 here in a couple of months. And,
I just turned 65.
Well, so maybe you can share with me what's ahead because menopause. There's a lot of concern with women going into menopause about, like, you know, doctors say that the vaginal wall is going to thin and that you're going to have some shrinkage of the vaginal canal. And, of course, this is all coming from a sex-negative culture. So I'm wondering what your take is on this.
My personal experience has been, along with many others, first of all, once I really, really switched around and began to embrace menopause as a rite of passage as opposed to a disease that makes us, you know, a thing going through life in which we become less attractive, less juicy, less this, less that. It's all about stepping into that wise older woman, okay? In doing that, one of the things that happens is, you know, if you're told something however many times somebody that you trust and you're supposed to respect tells you, like 99% of the guys that go on television coming to me with ED, don't have ED. They've just been watching too many Viagra commercials, okay? So they're not, Viagra is not allowed in my house. And so all I'm saying to you is embrace it. You know, if you're having hot flashes, I call them power flashes.
Yes, I've heard them called power surges, too.
They're power surges, and okay, so you get a little uncomfortable, you do this, and yes, you can do a little bit of, you know, the natural progesterones are good for that, but don't let anybody tell you that, and if the vaginal walls thin a little bit, so what? You're not going to give birth to any more babies, so you don't need for them to be all that big, but I'll guarantee you that the thinness also can mean that they are also more sensitive. Okay, and so you develop a different way of making love that you automatically fall into, which is all about quality, and you go places higher than you've ever gone before. And you're already juicy.
Yeah.
You know, you're already juicy, and I can just guarantee you that it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
One thing about it, you know, now they've got the A spot and the U spot, as well as the G spot. So we have all these spots now. The U spot is around the urethra.
Uh-huh.
And the A spot is up towards the, well, it's like at the base of the cervix.
Okay, yes.
And what I think is interesting, if the vaginal canal of older women does shorten with age, then it seems like it would be just that much easier to reach the A spot up in the cervix area for increased stimulation. And also, since a lot of women actually have a certain amount of erectile tissue behind the vaginal walls.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine if the walls are thinner, you might be able to get to that erectile tissue just that much easier, too.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've discovered is that, well, of course, part of it I think is because I've also embraced my body as something beautiful, and I've embraced my yoni as something beautiful, and it thrills me to explore it and have it be explored, because I think part of what we have done in our culture is that we've said you need another to complete you. You're supposed to have another piece to the puzzle. And in that, we have given up the response, like, hi, honey, I love you, so now we're gonna be together, and now you're gonna be responsible for my sexual pleasure and vice versa. Okay?
Right.
Well, we wouldn't do that with breathing. Hi, honey, I love you, now you're supposed to breathe for me. So what I say to people is, forget about what you need to do to pleasure your partner, because then both of you get all in your heads, and explore. And you're supposed to be, the reason you think about sex all the time is you're supposed to. Your life force energy is as important to you as breathing. You're supposed to be turned on 24/7. You use a dimmer switch. You never turn it off. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
as you breathe,
every breath I take, I do a Kegel. I squeeze my yoni and my sphincter together. Every breath I take. And I teach my men to do that too. I said, you guys have not been exercising your paracoccygeal muscle, and therefore your prostate's going to hell in the handbag, just like what happens when you don't do your ab exercises,
now,
your belly overflow.
I know what a PC muscle is, but explain to our listeners.
Okay, the PC muscle is around, it's hard to, but in male, it actually helps hold the prostate in place. So
it's,
that it doesn't do that.
It's
bleh.
The pelvic. It's the muscles in your pelvic floor. It's the same
Absolutely.
Muscle that wags
yes.
the tail of a dog.
Absolutely.
And the easiest way to access your PC muscles is to imagine that you are stopping and starting a flow of urine.
Actually, the PC muscle would be sphincter, the cremaster muscle. Both of them together do the same thing. You know, but if you are don't just exert, I call those dick ups. Those are the ones where you stop the flow of urine, those are dick ups. Those are the exercise that makes sure you don't have ED. Okay, that helps with that. But the sphincter muscle in the anus for both the male and the female, and also the yoni muscles. Okay, when you're doing a Kegel, you can do one and two squeezes, and as you're breathing, and you don't have to like hold your nostril or anything like that. And none of the yoga breaths aren't for me. Are not important. It's just conscious breathing. You're breathing into your belly and out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're breathing deep.
Right.
And that way you use your breath as a hydraulic lift.
Just so our listeners don't get confused, your sphincter muscle in your rectum is not your PC muscle. It's a
No, no, it's a sphincter, yeah.
And actually you've got two sphincter muscles in your rectum. One of them you can control, the one that the outer one, and the one 2 inches inside is hooked up to your parasympathetic nervous system, and you can't control it. So, anyway, for people who
But everybody should be, those are very, very important exercises to do to maintain the integrity of your sexuality, as well
it
as
is,
the...
It is interesting because I've actually watched, you can learn so much about sex just by watching animals live.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I had a dog who was intact, and my male dog is fixed, but he didn't know it. So, they had a very active sex life without puppies.
Right.
And every time she went into heat, they practiced. And what was interesting about it was just, first of all, how much BDSM goes into foreplay. These are scary terms for people, but we're really just talking about, you know, a little tickle and slap or
little
spank on the rear end.
Little growl and little rawr. Yeah.
It's in the Kama Sutra. It's a really normal part of lovemaking. And they would get pretty rough, and they had a wonderful time. But I also noticed that it came very natural to my dog to breathe tantrically. I mean, he wouldn't even think about having sex and holding his breath.
No. No. And that's one of the hardest things to do is to get, you know, so many people close their eyes just as tight as they can and their jaw is just shut like this. And they're so afraid because what is it? It's like, shh, you're going to wake the kids. You know, it's okay if you fight and scream and holler and call each other names in front of the kids, but God forbid they should hear you making love, you know? you're going to wake the kids or the neighbors or the mother.
A lot of us learn our first orgasm while we're masturbating, and that's taking place, really, a lot of shame and secrecy. And I was in college. My roommate was right there in the same dorm room with me. I'd try to wait until she was asleep and snoring, and then I would
jerk off, and, you know, just the words even that we attribute to jerk off, it sounds like something I have to do as quickly as I can. And
yeah.
So holding my breath was how I tried to keep my secret. And I, you know, I think that happens to a lot of people. They're trying to make sure their parents don't hear them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
and all of these things come into such beautiful play. I mean, I'm looking so forward. I'm going to go meet with Rafe in San Diego right at the Valentine's Day weekend, and we're going to be working on our program together. And I'm because he also does is going to be doing a documentary. And I'm so excited to be able to really, really bring this out and work with all of those people who have been sort of like overlooked and shoved aside when it comes to their sexuality, and they're the ones that need it. You know, the grievers and the warriors and the physically challenged and those with diabetes who've been, you know, just, and yet they still crave it. You know, I have a man, a client who is on who's got a defib, heart monitor thing, you know, the combination, plus he's got oxygen because he's got emphysema. And I mean, this man moves sexual energy like you would not believe.
It's interesting. I just got an email from somebody who bought my, I have a DVD that's like a little compilation of some of the porn that I have produced over the years. It's called Erotic Diaries. It goes from 93 to 2006. And there's a slideshow on there of me with a quadriplegic client.
Yes.
And one of the things that was such a joy for me to make this is actually an authentic client, a client who retained my services as an escort.
Uh-huh.
And every time I went to see him, we always worked along the paradigm of sacred prostitution.
Yes.
So we used a lot of breathing, and we used a lot of prayer, and we used a lot
right.
of chanting. And so this person who thought the last thing on earth he would want to see is somebody in a wheelchair having sex with me. He thought this would be
mm-hmm.
a total turnoff and really gross and everything. And he wrote me and he said, you know, he says, this is the friendliest porn I've ever watched. Every porn I've seen before has made me feel inadequate and like there's some kind of a competition out there. And
yeah.
he just felt like it was among friends. And when I got to
yes.
the part with the guy in the wheelchair, I realized that sex is just a normal part of life.
It is. It's so normal. It's not a no, it's not only a normal part, it's a requirement. I mean, it's as important as breathing. It's
the only
truly
reason we're here.
Yes. Yeah. It's the very process that creates us. So, and, you know, it's like one of the things when you were talking about the escort, that's one of the things also that I want to be able to do is that, you know, everybody says, ooh, sacred sexuality. Well, to me, it's like I think that 99% of the escorts out there are sacred prostitutes. You know, they do, you know, and working in the with the group of women that I have met, my sisters, because the form that I belong to is very different than most forms in that it's the providers that get their own private space to chat, not the other guys. And we, you know, they're gobbling up some of the things and even adding to, like, wow, that's why so-and-so reacts the way so-and-so reacts. And all of a sudden they have this new attitude about what they're doing and who they are and how important they are into individuals' lives. And so I think that's one of the things that we need to take a look at as society is concerned. I don't know how, but it's somehow or other we got to do it.
We do. And I've got to check in with our listeners here for a minute just to, Paul, if you're still listening, thank you so much for calling in. We love having callers. And for those of you who are listening and haven't called in yet, I just want to invite you to call in. Questions, comments, you can just join in with the fun. The toll-free number is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. And you can also join us on Skype. If you've got Skype, the number is 415-287-3601. That's 415-287-3601. Evelyn, I was thinking it might be interesting for you to go through this list that you had given me about the wounded warrior, the middle-aged virgin, aging senior, and maybe tell me just a brief synopsis of how you deal with each one of these as a category. Obviously, I'm thinking you must have kind of a treatment modality that's specific to each one.
Yeah, it is a treatment modality, but the first thing that I think that is so important is to meet them where they are at, you know, wherever they're at. The wounded warrior, for instance, usually presents himself or herself as someone who has had, who's maybe in their late 30s, early 40s, or even you could get into some of the ones that are even Vietnam vets that suddenly have no libido. They feel numb. They come home and they're anxious and excited to see their family, and they've got maybe good jobs, and they're out and they're home and they're safe and everything is good. But wow, you know, what's wrong? You know, I don't understand. You know, why am I not turned on anymore? What's going on with that? And so the first thing I ask them is, are you a military vet? And the 99% of the time they say, yeah. Well, where did you serve and what was it like? You know, and so we just kind of get into a little bit of it. And then what I'm prepared for is when I work, I do, you know, like on, I do sensual massage, Taoist erotic massage type stuff, my own version. And what I'm prepared for is for all of a sudden out of the clear to blue. Oh, and I tell him in the beginning, you know, now this is what we're going to be doing. Oftentimes we'll bring up a lot of things. Sometimes you'll have what Annie Sprinkle calls crygasms. Sometimes you'll have laughgasms and gigglegasms and angergasms. There's so many gasms in the world you can have. And so you just relax and you just let your body go and do whatever it wants to. And it's not uncommon for them to suddenly just burst out into sobbing tears or be angry and when that happens, I just do what I call hold space for it. I just create a safe container to just let them process it. Just let it go. Just let it go out. And 9 times out of 10, they feel way better for it. They feel like, where did that come from? We talk about it a little bit. And I just explain to them, you know, part of what you've done is in order to protect yourself from the pain of what you've been through, you've shut down your life force. Mm-hmm. And when you shut down your life force, you shut down your libido, which is what life force is. And therefore, you're protecting. It's your body's way of protecting. So I try to get them to understand that what they've got to do is tell their body that it's okay. You can let go of protecting me now and let yourself process it out.
Do you do that just with by internal dialogue or affirmations, or is there some kind of ritual that you can do to tell your body?
No, it's not necessarily a ritual, I would say. I consider my session in totality to be as a ceremony and a ritual, a ceremonial kind of thing. So, but there's no, I'm not the one that is, I'm catalyzing rather than causing the healing experience. And each person is different, and each time if someone continues to see me or comes back in, each session is different, and it just takes on its own flavor, and it takes on its own power. A lot of the work that I've done with Ray Stubbs that has to do with shamanic projection, from the one point, you know, where I can actually tap in shamanically in many ways and hold even bigger space. It's a being at one with. So I can kind of tap into and feel where the person is coming from. And in doing that, you know, there's, you know, the togetherness that, and the intimacy that is formed between us is absolutely magical. I don't care if I've known the person for 15 minutes. It's just, you know, there's a magical, magical, connection there. So that, they feel comfortable. They feel safe, and they feel like they're non-judged. So no matter what it is they need to experience, they just experience it.
Yeah, unconditional acceptance, and I think I consider that stuff, you know,
unconditional love.
Transpersonal love, absolutely.
Yes, it's transpersonal love. That's exactly what it is. And there's a lot of things that even come from Jenny Wade, who is one of our speakers year before last, wrote Transcendent Sex.
Oh, and I read that book. I love
it. Oh, my God,
book.
It was such a great book. It was such a great book.
You know what I loved about the fact, and for your listeners, really recommend this book. Dr. Jenny Wei wrote a book, Transcendent Sex, and one of the things that's amazing about it is she did case studies with a whole bunch of people who aren't into sex as a study or a profession. So people who knew nothing about Tantra, people who had never taken a single workshop in their life, who had these amazing, mind-blowing spiritual experiences during sex. And for some people, it was really scary. For others, it was really life-changing. And for others, it was just a beautiful experience that never happened again. And then some went off searching to replicate that. But what I loved about it was that nobody had any expectations. And so this is like really authentic stuff that it just goes to show that sex is meant to be so much bigger than what we were told.
And we come onto the planet already knowing what we're supposed to, knowing, you know, it's just like, it's not about teaching something new. It's embracing that which we came on the planet with.
So
you
tell
know,
us
we were
a little
born
bit
sensual.
Tell us a little bit about the middle-aged virgin.
Whoa. Those are the guys and the gals who have isolated themselves from any kind of intimate relationship because they're afraid. They don't know anything. They for a variety of reasons, but for the most part, the middle-aged, the frozen virgin or the middle-aged virgin who longs, absolutely longs, but has for companionship and intimacy, but literally is afraid to embrace, maybe doesn't know the social skills or was raised in a very, very closed family. And as a result of that, the older they got, the less they became, the older they got, the more entrenched they became into their behavior. And even though they may have been seeing a therapist who's trying to talk them into being brave enough, they will come to me because they need to be educated. They don't know anything about women's bodies. They don't even know about their own body. Are they big enough? Do they come too soon? What would this be like? And what, you know, I've had guys of that nature come to me who had never even kissed a woman. They don't know how they did, you know, and they're embarrassed because God knows men are always supposed to know what to do with women, you know, and they're embarrassed. Okay, so those are individuals who you really, it's almost like a mentoring. It's a sexual mentoring. But it's not just about sex. It's also about, okay, ask me out on a date. Tell me you like my dress. It's teaching social skills as well as, you know, one of the honor and to do it in such an honoring way. You know, I'm always honored when this complete stranger walks in the door and sits down on my couch and I look at him and it says, you don't know how honored I am that you trust me with this. You know, that element of trust and that element of bravery and courage, you know. They're scared out of their wits because they've either been told, you know, because of the things that they've been taught or not taught.
No, it's just ridiculous the things we tell people. Like, oh, sex comes natural. It didn't even come natural to my dog. He couldn't figure out where to put it.
Exactly.
My other dog, Shakina had to go into heat about 3 times before he figured that one out, and she was really getting frustrated.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
He kept trying to mate with her head, which I thought, okay, I guess he likes
yeah.
blowing up. But anyway.
I hear you.
It doesn't come natural.
It doesn't.
We're getting up to the top of our hour here. I want to make sure you get a chance to tell people about this event that's taking place in Sedona, which is a really healing, wonderful place to go.
Right, it is. The Dhaka Dakini Conference is about, oh gosh, last year there were over 200 of us there. And it's a weekend in May. This year it is May, I knew I would not write that down. It is May 8th, 9th, and 10th in Sedona. And the website is sedonatemple.com. And Baba Dez and his staff I also have a healing temple or a healing temple school there in which they do Dhaka and Dakini training. But it's always a really, really wonderful way to go and meet people and do some great stuff. And so we're going to be presenting there. And then the ASAP conference is in September. And this year it's Sexuality and Shamanism.
And that's and where?
That's going to be at in Mesa at Dobson Ranch Inn. It's at Best Western in Mesa. This is our fourth conference.
Also in September. Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it's September 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, which starts on Thursday night. And so, and we've got some amazing presenters there. This year, last year, we've had Betty Dodson was our first contribution award recipient. She was an absolute hoot. She and Del Williams were there from Eve's Garden in New York City, and what a time they had.
I was absolutely sick about missing that.
Yeah, and then Joel Kramer was our recipient last year, and he was just, like, absolutely thrilled, because we always think of some really kind of cute, sexy ways to work with our elders and get them. Because what we do is we honor the elders who have committed so much time and energy throughout their lives and brought so much to the world of sexual energy professionals. This year it's Thunderstrikes, also known, lots of people know him as Swiftier, who started the Kwadoshka movement, or who carried the Kwadoshka movement into the world, which is an amazing sacred sexuality from the Mayan and Native American perspective. So we've got some really good juicy stuff going on there.
And tell our listeners how they can contact you and how they can also... about the website.
My website is awakeningbody.com, and then the ASEP is goasep.org, and we're just getting ready to launch our new website. Probably by this time tomorrow night it'll be up. The old one is kind of, you know how what happens when you've got something new coming up, you let the old one go to pot. So but we got a really nice new one coming up, and so that's
Sacred Haven, is it?
Sacred Haven is, there's information about that on Awakening Body. Right now my Sacred Haven site is just used as a place to legitimatize the workshops, but my private practice is awakeningbody.com.
Okay. And just to remind people, Sacred Haven is religion.
Yeah, well, I decided that I would, when I decided to do this, I decided that my broader reach is to help people step into their truth. I'm working on a doctorate in life coaching, whole life coaching, and part of what I want to do is to reunite the sacred with the spiritual. And, you know, I've had lots of recovering Catholics and recovering Latter-day Saints, and I don't want to even say they're recovering. They're people that are trying to, how can I segue good sex into my religion, and finding that way that they can do that has been challenging, but it's also been very rewarding.
It's out there, though. It's out there.
It is, and it's
coming. My newsletter this month, I am actually talking about Christian soulgasms. There's some amazing things
going
on in Christianity. So we're going to have to sign off, but I hope
I know
back.
It's been so great. I will, and you just stay your sweet little blonde self.
Actually, I went brunette.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'll bet it's hot anyway.
Well, I'm having fun with it. I like changing my hairstyle every so often. But, Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back. And to our listeners, we're sorry we got started late here, but thanks so much for your patience.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for yours, too. I'm sorry about the mix-up.
No problem. Good night.
Bye, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.